Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the AngelsWin.com Internet Podcast. And now your hosts, Adam Dodge and Jeff Stoddard.
Angel fly, spread your wings.
I don't know if it qualifies as a brief hiatus, but the AngelsWin.com podcast is back after a vacation. Let's put it that way. This is Adam Dodge and your host, joined as always, well, as most of the time, by Jeffrey Stoddard, Chuck Richter. Jeff, Chuck, how's it going, boys? It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. It's great to be back. I'm fired up to hear that podcast intro again. It's just good to talk with you, gents. Adam or Chuck, how you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that we're firing this back up again. I mean, there's plenty to talk about this season, and unfortunately, you know, coming off a really bad series against the Red Sox, but I do like this team and. Overall, and I think we got a good chance to actually hang with the Astros all season long in the division.
Yeah, the Angels certainly off to, despite the debacle that was the last three games against the Boston Red Sox, the Angels are off to a fantastic start to the 2018 season. You know, we talk often around on the website, on the message boards, together as groups with other Angel fans that may or may not be affiliated with our core group of people at AngelsWin.com about 2002. And I'm not talking about the glory days and the World Series and, oh, remember how great it was, geez, 16 years ago now. But we talk about what 2002 meant to the Angel fan base and all of the bandwagon fans that came along for that ride and stuck around through the early part of the Artie Moreno movement across Anaheim, where the Angels made the playoffs six or seven times over the next 12 years or so. Is it safe to say that we're fair weather podcast hosts? Because in the last couple of years, let's be real, let's be honest with each other. 2014, the Angels had a very good regular season. They had the best record in baseball. Number one seed in the playoffs. Obviously, that didn't work out as the Kansas City Royals came in and cleaned up shop pretty good. And we really, I think last year we didn't do the podcast. I can't remember if we did it in 2016. Keeping Justin Upton, signing Ohtani, the pitching staff coming back healthy, the Angels off to a good start. Suddenly we're like, hey, guys, what about this podcast thing? Should we get that going again? And here we are. So what do you think, Jeff? Fair, fair? Are we fair weather podcast hosts?
Yes, here we are, and I'm not going to throw us under the bus, but Adam kind of teed that up pretty well. You know, with the excitement of the off season and spring training, you know, we get excited, and we come into this, it's like, hey, guys, let's do the podcast again. Let's fire it back up. But as soon as we booked it and as soon as we got it on the calendar, the losing streak started. So I'm not putting it all on us, but I don't know that we're fair weathered fans. I mean, you know, the three of us have young, pretty active kids that are involved from all ages, from high school down to preschool. So, you know, and full-time jobs and everything. So I'm not going to put it all on being fair weathered, but I think it would be disingenuous to say that there wasn't maybe a little bit of that.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you, Jeff.
Yeah, so if you like the podcast, you're listening to the podcast, you're saying, hey, these guys, you know, they're schmucks, but you know what, I like the content, I like talking about the Angels, I like hearing about the Angels. If you like it and you want to keep listening, you better hope the Angels turn it around, because if they lose 10, 11 out of 13, 14, suddenly, you know, the podcast might fall off the schedule. That's all I'm saying. All right, guys, real quick, we have a quick agenda. I know Fletch is going to join us from the Orange County Register here in a few moments. Really quickly, we've got a couple topics we want to hit on. this series against the Red Sox, huge disappointment. Obviously, the Angels off 13-3 start. The Red Sox off to a 13-2 start. These two, the beast from the East meets the best from the West in Anaheim, and everybody's excited, and the stadium's packed. And the Angels get blown out in this series by 24 runs over the three game series. Huge, huge disappointment from a result standpoint on the field. Chuck, Jeff, you're reading a lot into this. Is this something that hurts you as an Angel fan, or is this just one of those things that happens in baseball?
I think any time that you lose, whether it's one game or you get swept in three to Boston, it hurts, right? I mean, it just sucks. No one likes when the Boston fans roll into, you know, Anaheim Stadium and, you know, kind of do their takeover, because, you know, who in God's name would want to live in Boston? Nobody. So they all move out to Southern California and then, you know, praise their teams. But, you know, it hurts. But I think if you take a step back, as painful as the series was, and I certainly don't want to hear the name Mookie anymore. But, you know, if we look at the standings in the American League West, we're still in first place. So that's the kind of start that I see that we're off to right now. Even after getting swept at home by the Red Sox, Angels still sitting pretty in first place, and I don't think it's time to send up the warning flares.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you, Jeff. I mean, you know, Boston came in as a top five offensive team. I mean, we faced David Price, who's been off to a great start this season, and Porcello, who was Cy Young Award winner a couple of years ago, and we normally hit him well, but I mean he was on point the other night. You look at the offense, and you know we came in number one into this series, and it just you're facing two really good pitchers, and I don't know if you know, maybe the hype or the expectation to say, hey, we haven't played a great team yet, and we got to come in here and knock these guys, you know, compete with these guys and beat these guys. Otherwise, we're not going to be mentioned in the upper echelon of baseball teams. I don't know if that got into their heads a little bit, or you know, maybe the Ohtani hype, and then that just kind of fallen through because of his blisters early on in that game on Tuesday. I'm not sure, but you know, as Socha always says, let's turn the page. And, you know, we get the Giants coming in here this weekend, and you know, I hope we can at least take the series 2 out of 3. But at least just, you know, put on a good show offensively and get some good pitching again.
Yeah, you know, I was looking back at the series. I was disappointed with the offense first and foremost. I mean, the offense just did not show up. They strung a couple singles together. The power really wasn't there. Boston did a great job. You got to give those guys a lot of credit. Their pitching staff did a great job, especially changing eye levels. If you watch that series, you notice that they stayed out of the middle of the strike zone, and everything was up, it was down, it was in, it was out. They did a really good job locating their pitches, or as Gooby would say, locating their pitches. They did a really good job there. But on the pitching side, you look at the Angels starters and even the bullpen, and Boston – smacked him around. I got to be honest, guys. I don't know that Greg Maddox's prime was going to shut that team down. Those guys came in. That the first batter of the series hits a 100-mile-an-hour fastball below the strike zone, 420 feet to left center field. That kind of set the table for the way the series go. I'm going to chalk it up to the Red Sox were insanely hot offensively. Their pitching staff did a great job. I think the Angels to have a rainout and then an off day. Momentum is often an overrated thing, but I do think there is something there. And to have a couple of days off heading into that series, I don't think served them well, especially this early in the season when you're still getting going. You want to play, you want to play, you want to play, you want to keep that big mo rolling. They weren't able to do that. I'm not overly concerned about this series. If it continues in as they go ahead and they play the Giants, a team that they really should overmatch and beat, as you said, Chuck, take 2 out of 3 at home from the Giants. If they struggle against the Giants and lose 2 out of 3, lose the series, or God forbid get swept, I might be a little bit more concerned. All right, so Shohei Ohtani opened up the series against Boston. He gave up the home run to Betts right off the bat. We saw the blisters. He had a couple extra days off. I'm not going to beat them up too much over that start against Boston. Clearly, there were some circumstances that led to his poor outing on Tuesday night. That said, you throw that game out, Ohtani's off to a fantastic start on both sides of the diamond, right? He's throwing the ball well. A couple of great starts before that Boston start. He's been hitting the ball. He's been hitting home runs. He's been patient at the plate. He's been coming up with big hits with runners in scoring position. He's a national sensation. He's what everybody's talking about around Major League Baseball. I'm curious as to what you guys think realistic expectations are for Ohtani at the end of 2018. I'm talking about key metrics here. From a starting pitcher standpoint, what's his ERA going to be? What's his win-loss record going to be offensively? What are we looking at for a slash line for him? I'm cautiously optimistic. Clearly, this guy is crazy talented, and I think clearly from a starting pitching standpoint, to be able to throw 100 miles an hour, to have a split-finger fastball as devastating as his. His other secondary pitches, when they're on, they're fantastic. I think long-term, this guy in the rotation is going to be amazing and projects to be an ace. I don't think there's any question about that. Offensively, my expectations are tempered a little bit. This seems to me like a rookie coming in, guys haven't figured him out, and he's gotten off to a hot start. I would not expect Ohtani, the hitter, the designated hitter, to continue this season hitting anywhere close to the clip that he's hitting now. So if I'm looking at Ohtani, 2018, I'm thinking he's going to win between 10 and 13 games. He'll have an ERA in the mid-threes. He's going to rack up a lot of strikeouts. But offensively, I'm thinking more like a 250 average, 8 to 12 home runs, drawing some walks here and there, being exciting for sure, offering a left-handed power bat off the bench, which is great. Jeff, Ohtani, 2018, where does he end up as a starting pitcher and then again as a designated hitter?
Boy, you know, it's just hard to figure out. I mean, one of the joys of the last 3 weeks, with the exception of his last start, has been going back and trolling a lot of the sports writers that, you know, were writing the articles at the end of spring training about how Ohtani needed to start off the year in the minor leagues. It's just been a joy to find those articles and then retweet them back to everybody for reading. That said, you look at his start the other night against Boston, and, you know, any fair observation of it, he was a hot mess. I mean, he was missing really, really bad. And was it the blister? Maybe. I hope so. I would love to say that that's the reason. I would love to say that, you know, it's an asterisk game for him. He was just off. He was, you know, had the blister, and that's what threw him off. But if you look back at spring training, you know, maybe a bit of what we saw against Boston is more representative of what we saw down in Tempe. So, you know, who is the real guy? As you said, his upside is just ridiculous. I mean, what the guy can do, incredible. But I just don't know that we know who he is yet. I don't know that we know what his level of consistency is going to be. So where do I think he'll come in at? You know, is anybody that's listened to this podcast over the last several years, even though we took a bit of a vacation, knows that I'm a bit of the eternal optimist. So I still think there's a lot of teams that are going to need to see him for the first time. And when they do, I think that he has the advantage there. So, you know, as a pitcher, I think he probably ends you know, somewhere between 13 and 15 wins. I think his ERA, I'm going to put him somewhere around 3.5 to 3.75. I'm concerned about walks. So it will be interesting to see what his pitch or what his strikeout to walks ratio is going to be. As a hitter, I think he's going to do better than you said. I think you said, you know, maybe 8 to 12 home runs. He already has 3. We're only 3 weeks into the season. I wouldn't be surprised to see him come in at, you know, 17 to 20. I think that that's probably realistic. And you know what? If we can get a 280 batting average out of the guy and maybe, you know, 50 to 60 RBIs, I would be thrilled with that. But overall, I think that we're still trying to figure out just who this guy is. Chuck, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, and I agree with the offensive prediction on him. I think he's going to hit 20 home runs at least. You look at some of these bombs that he's already hit. I mean, he hit one off Kluber, which was a great drive to left center field, more center. And then he hit that other bomb the following night that went, 450 feet to left center field. And so, I mean, this guy's got lightning bat speed. I mean, he can turn on the fastball that he hit in the gap to clear the bases was on a 97-mile-per-hour fastball. And so, I mean, he's shown that he can hit the breaking pitches. The only concern I have for him on the offensive side is the breaking balls and from the southpaw. I mean, so I think as we get into the season, I hope that we see more success out of him against lefties. But you may see Sosh pull, you know, maybe a platoon type thing where he doesn't face a lefty as much as he has early on. So I think that we're going to see about a 280, 290 batting average, and I think he's going to hit 20 to 25 bombs. On the pitching side, I think I'm going to go I agree with both you guys, mid-3 ERA, because I believe there will be games where he won't have a feel for a splitter or a slider. He'll have to rely on the fastball, and he'll mix in some quality starts, you know, 6 innings, 3 earned runs or so. There's going to be other times where, like against the A's, he's just going to be on. And that if that splitter's on with that 100-mile-per-hour heater, he's devastating. He's unhittable, as he showed it in that second start against the A's. So, I think you're looking at 175, 180 strikeouts out of this guy and about 15 wins.
Yeah, I guess my concern on the offensive side is the fact that he's going to get 2, maybe 3 starts offensively every single week. I know he's the kind of guy that's used to it because he was kind of on the same regimen in Japan. But, you know, it's hard to get into a groove, and it might be a little bit hard to get out of a groove when you're not playing every single day. And the Angels seem intent to not bat him the day before his start, the day after his start. Certainly, he's going to offer a ton of value in interleague games and National League parks where he's going to be able to pitch and hit, which is going to be fantastic. And, you know, his at-bats may increase. The Angels may see that he can handle a couple extra starts a week at the designated hitter position. And honestly, if Cole Calhoun doesn't start hitting out there in right field, you're going to see a lot more of Chris Young and probably a lot less Cole Calhoun, which is going to open up some at-bats against lefties as well. Well, Jeff, we're on to topic number 2. You wanted to go through and discuss sort of the preseason, since we didn't do a preseason version of the podcast, probably because we weren't sure the Angels were going to be off to such a good start, and because we're a fair weather podcast host, we didn't do the preseason show this year. So why don't you take us through sort of the predictions and things like that and where we're looking at as a whole 2018?
Absolutely. So I thought it would be fun to kind of review a piece that we did at the beginning of April. And for those of you that aren't familiar with the website, angelswin.com, go there, log in, and we will, and you'll get all of our articles, all of our stuff. But one of the ones that we did in early April was the angelswin.com staff preseason predictions. And I thought it would be interesting to review that, kind of 3 weeks into the season. Obviously, we've got a long, long way to go. But I thought, pull out a couple of questions and, you know, see if we like where our answers are sitting right now. So the first one I'll start off with is, what is the biggest question going into the season? And interestingly enough, all three of us pretty much answered the same thing, which was, you know, can the pitching staff stay healthy, and do we have the pitching and bullpen to pull this team through? So, Adam, what are you thinking about your prediction so far?
Well, I mean, I think that the Angels have, like, 37 starting pitchers. So I think health is a little bit less of a concern this year. Obviously, we've already seen the injury bug come in to bite him. We've lost J.C. Martinez for the rest of the year, but Shoemaker should be back, hopefully, this year. I haven't heard an update on him. You got Haney, Skaggs, Richards. I mean, you got some fragile guys in this rotation. Ohtani, Tropiano, my boy, who I think is going to be huge for the Angels this year. And don't let the numbers fool you. He didn't pitch great last night, but he pitched better than anybody else against the Red Sox. And I thought he's moving his ball in and out really well. His off-speed stuff looked fantastic. He just kind of ran into a juggernaut in the Red Sox last night. I think Tropiano is going to be huge for this team. Barria, who came up, pitched a really good game against Texas. So I like the depth. I think the Angels could absorb a number of injuries this year. Whether the guys that are going to be absorbing those injuries when those injuries occur are good enough to carry this team to the playoffs, it remains to be seen. But I think from a talent standpoint, it's definitely there.
Chuck, what are your thoughts? Are you still feeling like health and pitching are the biggest concerns for the Angels at this stage?
Yeah, you know, actually, I kind of agree with Adam. I mean, you look at our depth and our minor league system, we've got a handful of guys that are coming up through the system that just got promoted to Double-A, and I'll talk about them a little later. But, you know, we got Barrio, we got Bredwell, who did great for us last year. We got Lamb. So we got some guys. The latest I heard, we can get some more when Jeff joins here. I see him coming on now. But we got from Shoemaker, but we got some guys, you know, that can fill in if there's an injury. But I think it goes to the bullpen for me because, I mean, what I've seen from Middleton early on is great. I mean, he's shown progress. He's gotten better versus last year, I mean, with his changeup. But I don't know if he's a true closer in that he can get, you know, the strikeout when you need it. He's got a nice heater, but so I don't know. I mean, how do you guys feel about the bullpen? I mean, that's kind of my biggest question mark right now. I love the defense. I like the offense. I like the depth and the starting pitching and on the bench. We got guys like Chris Carter and Jabari Blash that's just killing it, and Jose Fernandez in AAA. So we got a lot of depth there on the offensive side as well. But the bullpen still, to me, is kind of a question mark. And we haven't seen, you know, we haven't had to use them in tight situations over the last three games. But, you know, a guy like Bard comes in who's been actually pitching well up until this series and then just got blasted after Ohtani's start. But what do you guys think about the bullpen?
You know, I look at the bullpen, I look at it like an unmade pizza, right? You've got the dough, premium dough, flour imported from Italy, really top-notch stuff. You've got fresh tomatoes, you've got oregano coming, you know, grown fresh oregano that you can chop up there. You've got the best mozzarella cheese in the world. You've got all your toppings, and you don't know what to do with it. That's kind of how I'm looking at the Angels bullpen. I think they've got a lot of good arms, and they've got some young arms out there, and they've got some guys that have been around as well. They've got a great blend of youth and experience in that bullpen and guys that can get outs. What they don't have are roles. Now, I know Middleton's been closing to start the season, but, I mean, really, to me, they've got six or seven seventh-inning guys out there, and I think we're going to see some musical chairs in that bullpen. Socha's going to have to go with the hot end at the end of games. Right now it's Middleton. Jim Johnson is sort of that guy that we don't really want him closing games as Angel fans, because we've seen him close games for other teams and been on some positive outcome sides of that in the past. He's not really a guy that you're going to feel really comfortable with in the ninth inning too many times. But he's a guy that has a ton of experience closing games. And if he's not the closer, I'm sure he's going to get an opportunity at some point in 2018. But if he's not the closer, I think he's a fantastic guy to have in that bullpen to help those guys that are maybe new to that role. And somebody that's really going to help a Middleton figure out how to finish games in the ninth inning. So I like the arms out there a lot. Even Cam Bedrosian as somebody who has got a really straight fastball, somebody that you really isn't trusting of his secondary pitches. He's got a good arm, and he's going to hit some streaks where he's getting a lot of guys out at sort of the bottom end of that bullpen. Wood, Parker, I mean, I like the arms out there. I'm just really interested to see what roles these guys fall into as we get towards the end of the first half of this season and start to push towards a pennant race.
Yep. And as we're talking about the bullpen, it's a great time to bring in our special guest today, friend of AngelsWin.com. He's joined us at many of our spring training fan fest and sat on our media panel, and we're thrilled to have him here today from the Orange County Register, Jeff Fletcher. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. What are your thoughts on the bullpen so far this year?
Well, I think that probably every team, when you start the season, the bullpen could be good or it could be not good. And I think that the reason for that is just the nature of relievers. They're not consistent or they would be starters. And also you're dealing with a really small sample size. So if a reliever has, he's not very good for six innings, that's like 2 weeks of him being terrible. Whereas if a starter is not good for six innings, that's, one and a half games of him not pitching well. So I think that that's part of the problem is you can't really evaluate it. You sort of have to wait and see what happens after the fact. So I think the way to have a good bullpen is just to have a lot of relievers that you think have potential and be able to kind of wait and see who's hot and ride those guys. And I think that's what they did last year. I don't think, when they planned it out last year, they figured, hey, Bud Norris is going to be our closer for half the year, and then Blake Parker is going to end up being the best pitcher at the end of the year. Yusmeiro Petit is going to be the most valuable for the whole year. They wouldn't have planned any of that on April 1st, but you just want to have enough guys that have talent and see where they go. And I think, we're sitting here, it's still early, or it's middle of April. You don't know where they're going to go. Middleton may be great all year, or he may fall off, or, Cam Bedrosian may get things together and be good. You just don't know. So they've got a lot of relievers that have some potential, and I think that's kind of the best you can ask for.
Jeff, Chuck Richter here. So tough series against the Red Sox, and how did Socha address the team? I mean, did you interview him after the game last night? And what's the team feeling after this? I mean, it must be tough to just get obliterated by a team that you want to go toe to toe with and it looked good against, and they didn't in this series. I mean, we always hear, Socha, cliche, turn the page. But what's he feeling and what's the team feeling after this series?
Well, I actually had the night off last night, so I was not there. But I read, what they said, and it's pretty much what the guys always say after tough losses. I'm certain that Mike Socha did not address the team at all because that's not the kind of thing that they do in the major leagues. You don't talk to the team after the game like a football coach. It's just everybody goes and eats and showers and comes back tomorrow. So, I think these guys, they play 162 of these games, and there's going to be games where you play lousy. There's going to be games where you play pretty well and lose. There's going to be games where, the other team is just unbeatable. The Angels were that team last week. And you just have to literally forget about it and start again the next day at zero, which is what they're going to do. They're going to play the Giants. The Giants are not playing very well either. So, all it takes is one guy to come out and, if a starting pitcher has a good game and they manage to get a couple big two-out hits. And when they were hot, they were getting two-out hits like crazy. Like they were driving in all these runs with two outs. So you can't really look at too much in the micro of what happened over 3 days. It was a bad 3 days, but, it's still, they're 13-6, which I think probably most people would have taken if you would have told them on April 1st that they would be 13-6. So I think you have to look at it that way.
Yeah, and I think when we look at the Mike Socha tenure as an Angels manager, which is, going on 20 years now, I think one of the most positive things that he has brought, and I think it has a lot to do with his philosophy and his roster management. The Angels don't tend to have incredibly long losing streaks. And they may not have, super long winning streaks every year. They're not a streaky type of a team. Socha has brought, and I think it's been consistent, regardless of the level of talent that the team has had, an ability for his teams to quickly rebound from bad series and bad runs, and to, it's again cliche, but you don't want to celebrate the highs too much, and you don't want to dwell on the lows too much. You kind of want to keep that even keel. And I think as much as we joke about Socha and a lot of the cliche things that he says, I think there is a lot of value in that. And I would expect the Angels to bounce back really, really quickly. And they've got a veteran roster too. And to me, it's just one of those things where I don't know that Greg Maddux in his prime was going to slow this Red Sox team down. I mean, they were that good this series, and it's an April series. Let's not forget that as well. So, Chuck, prospects, you're the man when it comes to Angel prospects. We've already seen a couple. We saw one in Texas throw a really good game. I think probably the best start the Angels have had, aside from Ohtani's gym against Oakland. What can you tell us about what's going down on the farm?
Yeah, so and Jeff, you could chime in here too. I'd like to hear your thoughts on maybe what you've heard, from Socha or anybody else in the Angels brass. But Angels currently right now, they have the minor league leader in strikeouts in Jose Suarez, who's looking really good from the left side. Baseball America has been all over him. I guess he's hitting 94, 95 with his fastball. He's got a major league ready plus changeup and a workable slider and curveball. And then the guy that we got for the C.J. Crone deal, Luis Franigfo, this guy leads the minor league in minor leagues in stolen bases with 10, with a great 400 on-base percentage. We talk about guys like Adele and Marsh, and those guys are in Burlington. It's cold. There's been a lot of games that have been postponed down there, but once it gets warmer, those guys will start to do well. And Rivas down there, we have depth, and we talked about this earlier with Barria, and then you got Suarez and Griffin Canning just looked amazing. Two starts in high A ball, him and Suarez, and they got promoted to Double A. And we got a guy, Jamie Moyer's son, Hutton Moyer, who has 6 home runs already, tied for the minor league lead, and 7 stolen bases. And they're playing him all over the infield and outfield. So what are you hearing, Jeff, as far as like the, from the Angels' brass? They've got to be really excited about these kids that are up and coming. You got Taylor Ward, who's kind of a forgotten first-round pick that they converted from catcher to third base, who's got a 500-plus on-base percentage, hitting over 400 right now. What are you hearing from the Angels brass on the prospects?
I haven't really talked to too many of them about the prospects since spring training ended. We kind of talk about them when they're there in spring training, and then April starts and we sort of forget about them. It's kind of the way we operate. But I think that they definitely have a much better volume of prospects nowadays, which is a good thing. And I know that, in past years, when it comes down to trading deadline time, and fans are always asking me, can the Angels get this guy? Can the Angels get that guy? And my answer was always no. They don't have enough prospects. Forget it. They can't get involved with any of these kind of trades that you're talking about. This year, that's not going to be the case. I think this year they do have enough prospects now that if they want to make a trade just for just about anybody, they could do it. I mean, it would probably set their system back a little bit, but I think they're at the point now where it's more of a worthy risk because they've got enough parts that they can lose all of them.
Jeff, what have you heard on Jamai Jones and Roberto Baldaquin? I saw they both went on the DL last week. Have you heard anything from the Angels on the severity of their injury, what type of injury it is? Because I haven't seen anything, but I know that they hit the shelf last week with some type of injury.
I believe that Jones has a back injury, and Baldaquin, I want to say, let me see, I ask somebody, let me find it. I think it was like a hamstring or some kind of a lower body thing. Hamstring, yes. Baldaquin had a hamstring and a back, I believe, for Jones. I don't know how serious either of those things are, but that's all I can tell you.
Yeah, Baldaquin's looked great early on. In single A. So he's looked good, and I've heard some positive reviews on Jones' transition from outfield to second base. A lot of exciting things down on the farm.
Absolutely. And, again, this is the first Angels win podcast of 2018. We're joined by the Orange County Register's Jeff Fletcher. Jeff, it would be impossible to have a conversation about the 2018 Angels without talking about Shohei Ohtani. But as opposed to asking maybe a lot of the questions that get asked a lot of, you know, the player himself and, you know, what you think his potential and upsides are, I'm actually kind of interested to hear how things have changed for you and different members of the press. With Ohtani has come this onslaught of Japanese press that continues to, you know, follow him around, started off in spring training and is, you know, going with him city to city. How has that, if at all, impacted you know, your job? What have you observed? Any funny observations that you'd like to share?
Well, it's a lot more people around, and we don't sometimes our interview sessions with Mike Socha, we get fewer questions in because they're translating them into Japanese, which makes everything take twice as long. So there's times when we go like, oh, I forgot to ask this question about Cole Calhoun because, you know, we did Ohtani for 10 minutes and then he left. So, you know, but other than that, it's not really much of a difference. It's a good thing that it always gives me something interesting to write about. And there's definitely lots of interest, which is the most important thing for my job, is to have people interested in reading what I'm writing. I've been on the radio a lot and TV. I've probably done radio or TV interviews almost every day since the season started, whereas normally that would be like a couple times a month. So definitely it's increased in that sense, but it's fun to watch. I mean, it's a historic thing that he's trying to do, and it's cool to be there in the front row.
I think he's taking
Adam,
a nap. hey, Jeff, let me ask you something real quick. Cole Calhoun kind of had a rough year last year. I mean, he's been great defensively, great arm. But do you think if he continues to struggle by the trade deadline that the Angels could, you know, maybe make a move to get a little bit more production out of right field offensively?
I really don't think that they would do that. I think if they're going to spend their prospect capital, it would be for pitching. Because I think that they, you know, Cole Calhoun is, you know what he is. If you look at his career, he's been pretty consistent over his career. You know, within the seasons, there's ups and downs. But by the time the season's over, he ends up being pretty much the same. So you can say, you know, what you're going to get from him. Plus, he's already signed. He's good defensively. He does a lot of things well. He's a left-handed bat. You know, he's not, you know, your cleanup hitter. He's not your number three hitter. You know, in a good lineup, he's, you know, your number six hitter or something like that. So I think that they would probably just stick with him, figuring if he's had a bad first half, it just means he's going to be out the second half, and go for pitching, I think, if it comes to making trades.
You know, Jeff, as we were talking about the Boston series, one of the things that you had mentioned is that the Angels are sitting at 13-6 right now and, you know, atop the American League West, and that if we would have told anybody at the beginning of April that, you know, that would be their record, people would be pretty fired up and, you know, and not really caring much that we just got swept by Boston. What is the mood of the team, and is it do you see a big difference in the demeanor of the players, in the chemistry that you're seeing in the you know, in the locker room compared to maybe the last year or two?
You know what? You're not going to want to hear this answer, but there's really no difference ever. When you talk about Major League Baseball players, they are every day they walk in there thinking they're going to win that game that day. And they are just kind of staying loose and hanging out, doing what they need to do before the game. It doesn't change if they lost 10-0 the night before, they won 10-0. That's the only way they can really function, because, you know, 162 games, if you would let yourself get all high and low, you'd go crazy. And you have to, you know, do the same amount of work every time too. You can't say, oh man, look, I'm the greatest player ever. I've gone 5-for-10, so I'm just going to kick back and wait for the hits to come. So they're pretty much always the same, even when they're bad. You know, I mean, when you get to a really bad season in like September, then it becomes kind of different, and then guys really just like don't want to be there. But the Angels, I've not experienced that with the Angels in any of their seasons.
Are you noticing?
You know, they're
all
the same, pretty much.
Yeah. What about from a chemistry standpoint with some of the newer folks like, you know, Cozart and Kinsler? How, what is the, you know, the chemistry of the team that you're seeing with these newer guys?
They all seem to get along great, and they talk about how, you know, bringing in good character guys is kind of one of Billy Epler's things, that he's conscious of doing that, is, you know, of the mix of players in the clubhouse. They want people that sort of fit in together and are happy working together. And, you know, I think that they have no problems in that area.
That's awesome. Chuck, we just have time for a couple more questions for Jeff.
So, Jeff, so as far as on the, I mean, what do you, I mean, do you think that the Angels, one of the reasons why they didn't go out and get another starter before the beginning of the season is because they liked their depth? And I thought you'd wrote something that said that, well, maybe they're holding on to this extra bit of cash that they have, you know, to make a run at a you know, a top-tier player at the deadline. I mean, do you think that they'll, you know, if they're still running with the Astros, that they'll make a move and they'll deal some of these prospects and get a high-profile guy?
I think they will. I mean, you look at what they did with Justin Upton last year. They, you know, they were sort of – they weren't a great team last year, but they were close to being in the playoffs. They were kind of close at the time. And they made a trade for Justin Upton, which they didn't have to give up very much. They were lucky that, you know, with his opt-out, that he was sort of in a situation where he was worth a lot more to the Angels than he was worth to the Tigers. But they still had to commit, you know, the chance of paying him, you know, $90 million plus. So that was a significant you know, risk that they took on, and they got Brandon Phillips. And I think now they're probably going to be in an even better situation when it comes to July, and they're going to have more prospects they can give up, so they could have a chance to get somebody who's got a little more long-range potential to help them and not as much financial cost. I'm thinking of like a Michael Fulmer type guy from the Tigers who is not going to cost you very much money, but is going to cost you a lot of prospects. Well, now they've got more prospects that they could spend.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I got one final question for you. So just how bad are those blisters that Ohtani has? I mean, obviously they look pretty bad from some of the pictures that have been floating around on the internet. I mean, obviously you'd think that it's hard to spin some breaking balls and especially a split finger fastball, which he couldn't throw in his Tuesday start. But from what the latest things I've been reading is that it's healing up pretty good, and they feel like he's going to make his next start, and he was able to hit last night. And so have you heard of, you know, the type of treatment that they do on these blisters? Or
I think there's all kinds of different things they do. I'm not exactly sure what they're doing with him, but it doesn't sound like anybody's very worried about it. And the other thing to remember is the fact that they let him hit last night, even though the hitting doesn't technically affect the blister, having him be in a game affects the days you could put him on the DL. So if they thought there was a chance that he wasn't going to be able to pitch, you know, when his next turn came up, they might want to not have him hit so they could preserve the ability to retroactively DL him and have him miss less days. But now the fact that he played means you put him on the DL with 10 whole days starting, you know, immediately. So, you know, I think if they felt like he wasn't going to be able to pitch, they probably would have not had him play just so they could DL him and then have him only miss like 4 days instead of 10. But he played, and he says everything's fine, so we'll see. I don't think any of us, including him, is really going to know if he gets out there on the mound and starts pitching.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff, we really appreciate you joining us today. Chuck, it was great to get our first podcast off the ground in a couple of years, and it's going to be an exciting 2018 season. Thank you all for listening. For Adam Dodge, for Chuck Richter, and for Jeff Fletcher, our special guest today, thank you for listening to the Angels Win podcast, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks.
You've been listening to the AngelsWin.com internet podcast, a production of AngelsWin.com. The Views and opinions expressed are those of the host and his guest and do not necessarily represent the views of AngelsWin.com or its members. For more information about our site and user community, log on to AngelsWin.com. AngelsWin.com, unraveling Angels baseball one thread at a time.